Welcome to the Every Woman Podcast, a space where every woman has a voice and a story to share with the world. The intention here is to inspire you through the words spoken today, and that any wisdom gathered from listening will be applied to your own life. I'm your host, Devin, founder of the Circle of Grace, and I want to personally thank you for tuning in today. Now it's time for a warm welcome. And we're live. Today with me, I have Miss Ginger. She's from Play It Again with Mike and Ginger on YouTube. She has been a friend of mine that I've connected with on Twitter. It's been, a couple years now, I think. Yeah. Been in connection. It's really crazy because this is the first time that we're really talking face-to-face. So I'm really looking forward to kind of getting to know you a little bit better. I feel like you can really get to know a person a little more when you're actually interacting face-to-face versus behind a certain character limit. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Me too.
So there's a lot I want to unpack because you're just one of the most interesting and amazing women that I think I follow on social media. I've always really enjoyed you and your energy. You are extremely authentic. You're just spunky and fun. You got a little bit of spice to you. And I just value that. I really love that. I think that you are interesting and intriguing. I think that you have great perspectives and insight. And you're someone who can respectfully disagree, which I really value that in a person. So it's been really great to kind of connect with you. And you sent me that brittle that you made a couple Christmases ago.
I can't believe you remember the brittle.
Oh, no. I remember the brittle. My whole family got some of that brittle, and they were all about it. So that was just really awesome. Really loved that. So tell me a little bit about yourself and where you came from. I know you have a lot of life experience that's kind of made you into the person that you are. Mm-hmm. So maybe tell me a little bit about that. I know you said you mentioned that you kind of felt like a high school reject, and then going into, you suffered a not so great marriage and things like that. So that really is a lot to go through. So if you want to dive into that, that would be awesome.
Sure. If I can make my head fit back in this room after all those accolades you shared. You're so generous and sweet. That's the first time anybody's ever said that to me.
Crazy to me, because you're just great. I love it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I legit really was the high school reject, right? Like I had very few friends. I was picked on and beat up a lot in high school, like bullied a lot. I was a very, very ugly teenager, right? And the kick a ginger day is a thing for a reason, because people like picking on gingers, right? I had this terrible orange hair and these huge blotchy freckles. So I was awkward, like really awkward, and couldn't talk much, right? Like I was just a mess. My fashion was terrible, right? Like I had no sense of style at all. And I was just a total wallflower for the most part. So I spent most of my high school just trying to avoid the terrible hallways, right? The ones where I knew I was going to run into problems. So I didn't do that great in high school. Blossomed a little bit late. So yeah, about my 19 or 20 is when I started to blossom a little. My ugly faded away, and I started to get familiar with how to take advantage of whatever I had to work with. So that helped. Sadly, that was kind of right on the coattails of my first very terrible marriage. Mm-hmm. He was European. It wasn't we didn't go well together. It ended up being very abusive and tumultuous 4 years with him. Mm-hmm. So that I ended up having to kind of flee for like the 10th but final time, right? Because you always go and then you come back and then you go and come back. And I certainly fell into that cycle quite a bit. But
what made you decide that it was time to break free from that cycle and change course?
I wish I could say I knew. Just fed up, just tired.
Finally done.
I got to the point where, to be honest, I got to the point where I tried to kill myself. The guilt that I felt after that, because I survived it, the guilt I felt after that, because at the time my son was 1.5, and I felt terrible that I had almost left him, right? Like, and I would have left him with an abusive parent, right? Somebody that I couldn't live with myself. And I felt terrible about that. I thought that was probably the worst thing I'd ever done as a parent. And I really owed him better than that. So that probably propelled me to say, whatever else you're doing, you're definitely doing this wrong. So you got to fix that. So that was probably the one major thing. But there, I mean, it was kind of a sort of like straw that broke the camel's back, because I'd left many times and just too afraid, too stupid, too caught up in it to stay away, just came back, right?
Yeah. So. A lot of what keeps people in those situations, I believe, is that fear of the unknown or not knowing if you can do it yourself. And so you got to a point where you were doing it yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to talk a little bit about that season and then how that translated into you eventually becoming, you know, a stay-at-home mom and that type of thing.
So when I left my first husband, I had just decided to sign up to go back to school. So I was taking legal admin at one of the community colleges, and he was very discouraging of that. So that also helped cement it in my head, because I thought, well, there's nothing wrong with me learning to do something or learning to be better. And the fact that he was discouraging me from it and making me feel kind of small for it, I was kind of like, I don't know what you want from me then. I don't know why you're here if that's the all that you want from me. So that helped cement it too. Once I finished school, I was able to get myself a decent job. And suddenly I could pay my own bills, right? Like, a lot of it was, I didn't have any skills. I'd worked in restaurants from the time I was 14 till the time when I left him. And I hadn't really done anything else other than I was a stripper for a little while. That paid the bills after we separated for a while. Because it was just about the only thing where I could make enough money to pay the bills. Right, in the time that I had between taking care of my son and school. So I did that for a little while. Yeah, but it worked. It took me about a year to finish my school, and I did really well. So I got a good job, not in my field, but in customer service. But a lot of office training helped get that, and it was a really good job. So I kept that for a few years, and that kind of propelled me into a new, more professional space. Right. And in a place where I was working regular day shift and could be home with my son for the evenings. And that's when I kind of got together and met my second husband. I say husband, we weren't officially married. We were cohabiting, and he was the one that I had two more kids with. I was with him for a lot longer. We were together, I think, for 8 years. And that ended very badly too. He wasn't abusive in the same way. He was he was a cheater. They both were. They both cheated quite a bit. But that was the major problem with the second one. That was one of the major reasons that I left him. In addition to the fact that he wasn't really good about keeping on top of the bills either. And that was very stressful for me. I'd spent so many years working so hard through some very ugly circumstances to try to get to a position where I could pay my bills and not have to worry about it. Mm-hmm. And then to have gone through all that to get with somebody who, I mean, he made enough money to pay the bills. He just didn't, right? He was just not very good about keeping on top of his things. And I always ended up being the one that had to answer the calls from the creditors and whatnot. And so that put a lot of strain on that too. So he was always a bit not quite grown up. Not that I wasn't overly more mature either, because I was with him. I chose him, right? So that put a lot of strain on it, but we were together for a while. And then when we separated, that was very hard on my kids. really hard on my kids. So that's been a bit of a tumultuous experience. My husband now, Mike, is my third husband. But third time's the charm. That's what they tell me.
I was just about to say that. That's funny.
He's fabulous. So we've been together for 15 years.
Wow. Oh, that's amazing. You guys, you can tell that you just go together so well, so beautifully, that you enjoy one another's company, that you love one another. I love that. So how did you two meet?
So that story is really weird. So I used to do blogging. I used to be a political blogger. It was anonymous.
Okay.
Yeah. So I won't reveal what the handle was. There's a few people out there who know me from back then. And he was one of my regular readers. And the funny thing is, okay, it's actually, let me put a hold on that, because that's not the beginning of the story. Way, way, way back when I first left my first husband, I went to a wedding as a date for a friend of mine. He was the next boyfriend that we were still friends, and he needed a date for this wedding. So he asked if I would go with him. So I did. And we were traveling with, it was a wedding for one of his college friends. And we were traveling with another college friend that he always, the three of them were kind of tight, right? And his wife, and it was Mike and his wife. And I'd never met these people. I didn't know them, right? So we were just commuting to this wedding. So we spent the whole day together, driving back and forth to the wedding, and we sat together at the wedding and whatnot. And I was just at the time very gregarious, right? Kind of just a little bit obnoxious. I was like 20, 21, right? And his wife and me did not really get along, because she was one of those women that she was very big at belittling him in public, right? Like calling him stupid and stuff. Like, I'd never met these people before. And I sat there, and every time she told a story about them, she would say something that would be insulting to him. And he's sitting right there. And I was pretty disgusted by that. So she and I, by the end of the day, mostly hated each other. I was nice to him. He seemed like a nice enough guy. I felt bad for him, right? I was like, I can't believe you're sitting there taking this from your wife.
Yeah.
But he's just a nice guy that is a kind of a go along to get along for the most part, right? And I mostly forgot about them after that. Other than her, I keep, for the whole 9 years after that, every time I told a story about the kind of wife I didn't want to be, I would tell the story about meeting that woman.
Wow.
That's one of the things that's a real thorn in my side. If I see a woman treating her husband like that, I can be quite hostile. Right. Yeah. I just don't approve of it at all. You're married to this person, right? However else you feel about them, it reflects very badly on you if he's really as bad as you say. Right.
Yeah. I mean, like, you chose that guy. Person. Absolutely. I get a very nasty taste in my mouth when I witness that as well. And I know Jeremy and I have gone on dates with people, and I've noticed that to be a theme with some
it's
women.
So common, and it's accepted, right? It's crazy accepted. That's the thing that bothers me.
And I have a very kind of loud mouth. I'm kind of blunt, and why are you speaking this way? I don't.
Right.
That's so disrespectful. And I might not do it in the group setting, but you bet your butt I'm going to go to that person one-on-one and kind of have that conversation, because there's something wrong there. That's not okay. And it's definitely normalized, which is crazy to me.
Yeah. All the sitcoms, right? Every commercial, you got the doofus dad and the smart aleck mom, right? That humiliates them on a regular basis. It's really quite disgusting. So fast forward 9 years later, and I'm doing this political blog anonymously, and he ended up being one of my regular readers. And I didn't know that. He was just a reader. I just knew him by his first name. There was a political get together in Toronto one night, and we said, well, why don't we meet up there? We'll just hang out, right? Because I was going with a bunch of my blogging friends, mm-hmm. and it was all political themed. So we met there, and we hung out. It was so much fun.
Wow.
And we were like, oh, we live really close to each other. And we both had three kids. And so we said, oh, why don't we get together? Like, I was still with my ex at the time, and he was still with his wife at the time. Well, why don't we get our families together for like a, you know, let's get together and hang out. So we did. So we went to his house for dinner and we're sitting there having dinner. And she asked my ex at the time where he worked. And when he said, she turns to Mike and says, "Isn't that where so-and-so, the guy that I went to the wedding with, isn't that where he worked?" And I was like, I thought that's weird. I wonder how she knows him. And then she says to Mike, "We haven't seen Sean since Lisa's wedding when his date hit on me." And I was like sitting there. And so she's saying that she thought I hit on her that night. So my utensils just go down on the plate. I go, "What?" Because right at that moment, I realized who these people were. I did not know it before that. Until I had no idea.
That is hysterical.
I'm sitting at her dining room table and I realized who these people are. And then she also says that about me. And I was like,
huh. Wait a minute.
Right? So we're clearing the plates after dinner and I cornered Mike. And I said to him, "I might remember things a little bit differently, but I don't believe I ever hit on your wife." And he just stops dead. His whole face goes white. He goes, "Oh my God, that was you?" He didn't remember me either.
That is hysterical. Like, what are the odds of that, right?
Really weird, right?
I mean, I personally am not a person who believes in coincidences. I think everything is very purposeful and intentional. And that is just wild. That small world isn't even the right terminology for something like that. That's so crazy.
I know. Super weird.
She thought you hit on her. That's awesome.
Yeah, I got to tell you. Okay, so I can be very flirty even with girls, right? But One thing's for sure, that babe was never my type. Right, like, there's no way I hit on her.
It's a no for me. No.
But anyway, so a few weeks later, right, like we just kind of hung out as friends and chatted as friends, but he had already pretty much decided he was leaving her because they'd had a few back and forths where he'd given her warnings because of her behavior, right? Like, it was starting to get really bad. And I was on the second, third chance for mine, right? Where we actually moved after the last time he cheated on me so that we could kind of get a fresh start. And we just sort of settled down, but it still wasn't getting any better. So I was on the verge of leaving mine too. And it just sort of simultaneously happened. He called me one day and he goes, I don't expect anything from you. And I didn't plan it this way, he says, but I just wanted to let you know I'm leaving my wife. And it was just that was it. When he said that, I thought, if he's brave enough, and this guy, you got to understand, this is a guy that doesn't break his promises ever, right? Like, yeah, he's as solid as they get. And I thought, I was kind of ashamed after he said that, because I thought, if that guy can have the guts to do what's right, then I don't know why I'm still here trying to make it work with somebody that doesn't want to make it work with me, right?
Yeah, that's the hard part, is when I'm always a bit advocate for it takes two to fail a marriage, but it's difficult when there's one party or two parties that are insistent on not growing or not changing any negative behavior. And it does become very draining and very exhausting. And I am not envious of people who have to experience that, because that is a painful thing to do. Marriage is a huge gift, and we don't have any real guidance when it comes to that. And so we find ourselves in these situations that end up being really painful rather than something that creates abundance. So I definitely have compassion for that experience. And
well, I mean, to be sure, I'm not easy to live with, right? Like, to give my ex credit where it's due, I have my issues, right? Like, I was never overly organized either, right? Like, we were a very bad pairing, because with his lack of organization and my lack of organization, there was a lot that didn't get done when it should have. I've learned a lot from that. I've become a lot more organized since, but I have my challenges. I have a temper. I have a terrible, awful temper, right? That's probably my worst flaw is my temper. It goes with the red hair. It has also improved because my husband now does not put up with that shit ever, right? Like he's definitely a grounding force for me.
That's and awesome.
He's definitely the immovable force, right? Like he's going to put his foot down. There is no altering that ever. So no matter how much I rage, it's just pointless, right? Mm-hmm. So I had my issues too. We didn't go well together, but I at least like when it came right down to it, it was the lying and the cheating that really killed it. I would have put up with everything else for probably the rest of my life. But the cheating was a big deal for me.
Yeah, like as it should be. I mean, yeah. You've known me long enough now that you know my values, my beliefs. I'm obviously a Christian, and my beliefs are, you know, scripture says there are reasons for divorce and death and infidelity, and cheating is something extremely condemned. It's not something that is acceptable whatsoever. And in a marriage, that is the ultimate form of betrayal. Mm. So that's something that that makes me angry. It makes me angry. It frustrates me. I just can't imagine choosing to betray your partner like that. Mm-hmm. It's crazy to me. It's crazy. I think a lot of people go into a marriage not fully understanding what it really is, what type of commitment it really is, or they think that they do, but they don't really know when it comes down to it. So that's a big, struggle.
Mike and I got together right after, right? So there's, my ex made much hay with my children about how, oh, that must have been, we were fooling around the whole time. But that's the thing, right? Like
rejection.
We didn't, right? Like it was really important to me that I be honest with him right up front. As soon as I realized that's it, I really just don't want to be in this marriage. I said so, and I made moves and I left, right? Because I didn't want to cheat, right? I don't like lying. It's so exhausting, right? Like I couldn't even imagine. I'm a very busy person. Right? I have a lot of crap to get done. I couldn't even imagine trying to fit in the clandestine relationship and all the lies that have to go with that. I can't.
It's a giant snowball that you make one lie and then you got to lie about this and about that. And then how do you keep up with all of that?
No, I just don't have the energy for it. It's hard enough being honest, right? Like it's hard enough being honest. That's hard enough work.
Man, so, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's a thing that I never really understood. I've never really been that way. I've always been very deeply devoted. I'm the kind that I'll work till my fingers are to the bloody bone first. And then when I decide it's done, I'm gone. Right. Like I don't do the one leg in the house and one leg out of the house thing.
Yeah.
I don't understand it. I can't tolerate it at all. If you don't want to be with me, leave. Right. Don't lie to me. Don't cheat on me.
Right. It should be right. As simple as that. Be honest. I definitely respect someone who is honest a lot more than somebody who doesn't have the balls to come out and say it straight up. And there's so much relating to this topic. I mean, even the topic of divorce, I know that a lot of Christians are super condemning of it, but the issue is there's a lot of nuance when it comes to that. And yes, like scripture condemns divorce outside of infidelity or death. And I am not disagreeing with that by any means. However, we don't have a society that sets up success when it comes to marriage.
I agree.
And it makes me have a lot of compassion for these situations because, like you said, I mean, you're a person who really is a devoted, committed person, and you find yourself in these situations for whatever reason. And you're doing your best of what you know at the time. And you give it your all, until it literally is going to destroy you if you continue, because there's nothing more you can do. And so I have compassion in those situations. And man, it's rough, but it's amazing to see. I love seeing how it's redeemed. You know, you have that past, you have those marriages that you've had. And yet now look at you and your marriage with it is awesome. Your husband is, you guys are the cutest pair that I've ever seen in my life. And just because you have that past doesn't mean that that's how it's going to be forever. Because I mean, my own mother, she's had three marriages as well in my life, and she still doesn't have what you have now. So not everyone, their story gets redeemed through that work and that effort, but you have had your story redeemed in a sense. And I love that. I find that super inspiring, and it shows, you know, I think it gives hope for people who maybe do have that, ended up in those situations. And it can feel very depressing when there's Christians saying, well, just stay with them, just stay with them. Divorce is terrible, and all these things, because you do feel like you've tried everything. And that's a really difficult situation to be in. So I think people who are in that space, who are suffering, can have a little bit of hope seeing your situation, that it is possible to end up having the marriage that I believe God always intended.
Just to learn from the mistakes, right?
There's always redemption. There's always redemption.
The thing is, lots of people get caught in the cycle where they just keep picking the wrong crappy guy because they don't pay attention to what they did wrong, right?
Right.
They just
They're not learning
stuck.
Or growing.
I didn't learn everything, clearly, or I wouldn't have had to go to three, right? But I always learned something, right? The first one beat the shit out of me all the time. The second one, barely ever. He hit me once or twice, but it was never really bad. He was completely the opposite of my first husband, other than the cheating, right? Like, he was very passive. It ended up, he was passive aggressive, but I didn't know what that looked like. I had spent my whole life dealing with men who were openly aggressive, right? Yeah. So I didn't know what passive aggressive looked like. So I avoided any man that was openly aggressive. So I picked this guy. He seemed really kind of sedate and gentle. And so he was so different. So I thought I'd done better. I ended up just picking the other side of the scale, because passive aggressive, I think, is way more destructive than openly aggressive. Lisa has been in my life. So, but the third time I decided to focus on, first of all those things, because they're still important, but I chose a man who was unwilling to be dishonest, right? Like, and it was all the little things, right? It was, he just never lied about anything. Some people, I don't know, it seems some people make fun of me for it, but some of the little things really start to, they show those things, those traits in tiny little ways. Like, is he the kind of person that just eats the grapes in the grocery store while he's shopping, right? Like, that's stealing. Mm-hmm. Somebody that does that and pretends that it's okay is being a dishonest person. It's a tiny little thing, but it's something like that. Or does he, if he gets too much change, would he give it back to the cashier, or would he keep it and figure he just scored, right? Like, little things like that, they show a person's character.
Yeah.
Always. So I started paying really close attention to stuff like that, right? Is he nice to the waitress when she comes to the table? Like, is he polite? Mm-hmm. Does he hold the door for me, right? Like, I'm a pretty independent gal, right? But it's always nice when a guy feels the need to do that, right?
Right.
Does he want to, you know, does he hold my hand, right? Does he put me first in many ways? So stuff like that, I started looking for those things. And once I saw them in him, I grabbed him, I snatched him. I wasn't going to let him go after that. I'd wasted too many years already.
That's amazing. No, I love that. That's super. I love that. It's encouraging. It's awesome. I'm so glad that you guys have one another now. You guys are really just the cutest thing ever. And I really love what you guys started doing. So I do want to make sure that everybody kind of knows what it is that you do if they're not familiar with your YouTube channel, because you start, okay, when did you start this? I can't remember. It wasn't that long.
No, it was August last year.
Okay. So
we got really tired of being stuck in the house.
Yeah.
Right? And just, well, we've always done a bunch of stuff together. We're big and playing board games, but we've literally played all the board games in our house so many times. But there wasn't that much we could do. We go out a lot. We go for hikes a lot. You've seen a lot of my hiking photos and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But it was kind of sort of like, I kept nagging him. I said, you need a hobby. I have like 100 hobbies, right? I yeah. said, but he has no hobbies at all. He's like, no, I just like relaxing. One of the things we did do together was we would sit and we would watch music reaction channels. He really likes them. And I like we have nice little banter back and forth amongst us about the channels when we watch them. And we were in the middle of watching one of them. And I can't remember what he said, but I said back to him, I go, you know, we could totally do this. It would be so simple, right? Because we, even during TVs or movies or whatever, we're always talking to each other about what we're watching. We make funny little quips. We find ourselves very amusing.
Yeah, no.
We're always laughing at each other. So, but when I said that, he looks at me and goes, really? You think we could? I was like, are you serious right now? You want to try it? So it was super easy. I just bought some equipment off Amazon, like the microphones and the headphones off Amazon. And we just decided to start recording a couple. I figured, why not? We figured at the very least it's something we can spend some time doing, something we enjoy together, because we both really like listening to music. Right? Yeah. We're huge music fans. Something we can do together, even if nobody ever watches, who cares, right? We'll put it out right. And we'll enjoy it ourselves. But it took off. I couldn't even believe it. It was ridiculous.
Yeah,
I wasn't expecting it.
I knew that you guys were going to do, from the beginning, I knew that you would do well, but I didn't think that it would be like that quickly. I knew that it would take like over time that you guys would do great, but it really did take off. And yeah. I think that's because you guys you are fun to watch. Both of you together, you guys are just, yeah, you're just quirky personalities and your interaction with one another. And yeah, I think it's awesome. I think you guys totally have the personalities for it, and you do, because it's showing in your guys' success with it. So I think it's awesome. I think it's fantastic.
It's so much fun to do, right? Like, yeah. It's really fun to do because, and now the best, when we started out, we picked a whole bunch of songs that we already knew, which is technically kind of not the way a reaction channel is supposed to be done, right? Like that. We sometimes get heat from people who say, oh, it's not really a reaction if you've already heard the song before. And I always give the same answer. I never put a song on, no matter how many times I've heard it, and I don't have a reaction to it.
Yeah.
Because if I've heard it 100 times, I probably love it. And every single time it's
going to give me that joy. Emotion.
Yeah. So like, but also when we started out, I mean, where do you start? Right? How do you start with music you've never heard before? How do you even find it? Right? Mm-hmm. So we started with things we know that we knew we had things to say about. So the first few ones are like that. And they're, if you ask me, kind of the most comical, because we picked ones in particular that we would have lots to say about. But the video quality of them is terrible because it took us like 2 months to get all the equipment sorted out. So we could get the sound and the video quality good. But it was a good learning experience because we had lots of people that gave us feedback too to help us with that.
That's awesome. So, and that's something that I always suggest to people. They just get started and you'll learn as you go. You'll make improvements as you go. Just take a step. If perfectionism can cause you to not take action.
Yeah.
Feel like you have
paralysis by analysis, right?
Yeah. You learn and improve by trial and error. So if you're not doing anything because in your head you're trying to piece all these things together or get everything that you need and it has to be perfect, then you're never going to get anywhere. So really taking that step. And I think it's great. You guys took that step and you started with what you had and now you've improved. And I mean, you guys are absolutely crushing it. I saw the one that you guys posted today, I believe. I think, it was
the opera.
The opera one. That was so amazing. So cool. I have never seen any like the opera like that. Was awesome. That was something so cool. And I was like, ooh, I need to look I need to look this up and get into that too, because that was amazing. That was very interesting.
I gotta say, Unleash the Archers is a Canadian band that it was Brittany Slays is the lead singer for Unleash the Archers, and they're a metal band from Canada. And I can't believe I hadn't heard of them before, but they're one of the bands that we discovered doing this channel. A bunch of commenters had commented, oh, you got to check them out. And what a score, because they have been amazing, right? Like, I absolutely love that band. There's quite a few. That's the, out of all of this whole thing, that's the best treat of all. I mean, it's nice that we have this thing to do together, that we both really enjoy. But the best part is we have found so much good music that we would have never found ever. Like, I'm finding bands that have been around for decades that I'd never heard of, that all we do is enjoy. My Spotify list has like grown exponentially since we started. It's been amazing because we love music, right? Like, I love finding good music, but we're discovering how sheltered we've been in the music realm, because I'm hearing stuff that I would never hear anywhere else, and we're really enjoying it. So it's been a real treat.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. See, that's so fun. And to do something that you love like that. Yeah. And one thing that connects all of us humans is music. We mm-hmm. all pretty much love music, and it connects us in a very, music is very spiritual. It's a very mm-hmm. spiritual thing, a very spiritual experience. And that's why, I mean, even in scripture, there's so much talk about just music. It's very important. It really is. And we really can connect in that way. And it's awesome when somebody else shares that with you, because it's like, oh, you love this. And now you're giving it, you know, you're passionate and you love and you get excited about it and you're sharing that with me. And I think that that's really fun. I think that's cool. And a great way to get to know people too, mm-hmm. because you find their interests, the things that they enjoy, and you get a better sense of who they are and what they're into. And I think that that's really awesome.
I think that's one of the biggest reasons that these, because reaction channels are actually a fairly large niche. There's tons of them out there. It's a huge, like, and we're small. We just hit 25K.
Just awesome.
The day before yesterday, I think, subscribers. But there are reaction channels that are in the hundreds of thousands of subscribers.
So crazy.
So they're a big thing that lots of people have never even heard of. But I think that's the biggest reason that they're popular, is because of that. Because think about it. I don't know about you, but even when I was in high school, all my friends, if I found a really good new song, I would play it for them, and I'd sit there and I'd watch, how did they absorb it, right? Did they enjoy it too? Everybody wants to do that. Everybody wants to share the song that meant something big to them, or something they enjoyed, right? Or even something that's mockworthy, even something they enjoyed because it's bad.
Yeah.
Everybody likes to do that. So I think that's the biggest reason that it's as big as it is, even though it sounds like such a strange thing to say, right? Well, what kind of channel is it? Oh, I watch videos and people watch me watching them, right?
It's kind of like, it's a very interesting concept that I feel like is very still fresh and new in the sense of, you know, the grand scheme of things. It's still something relatively new, and people love that. I mean, even the YouTube channels, and this kills me, but I have twin sisters that are 6, and all these kids these days love watching those reaction videos of toys and things like that. And I'm really? What is it about that you guys like?
Video games, right? Like, my kids.
Yeah.
Two of my kids are huge into watching, like, Markiplier.
Yeah.
And PewDiePie, right? Doing all the video game reactions.
He's still around. I remember Markiplier when I was younger. He's been around doing the thing for a while. So he's doing
good. My daughter's still a huge fan of Markiplier, as far as I'm aware. But
man,
and that's something I never understood. I was like, wait a minute, you're watching him play a video game? I don't get it.
You just want to play? Yeah.
But
people now are interesting. I've always joked around. I tell this to Jerm all the time, that I'm going to do live game streaming, because I have gotten into this obsession of Fortnite, which I know everybody, it's like the lame thing now, but I love playing it. And when my friends are around and we're playing it, they all crack up at me because they're like, you're hilarious. You're so funny. And so I'm always like, I need to do one of those just live streams because
you should.
I'm super entertaining. I tried to figure out, the thing that I always struggle with is the logistics and the technology, like the technical aspect of things. So I tried to figure it out on my Mac, and I don't think because Fortnite and Apple had some issues, I don't think that you can do it on Apple anymore. I don't know, but it's funny because people love that. They really do. They love hearing people talk, the things they say. It's funny. It is interesting.
Yeah, that's one of the things I struggle with too. Like, we'd really like to do a live stream Q&A. We meant to do it when we hit 20K. I could not figure out how to do it. I have a Twitch account, right? Wow. Like, I have Twitch, but I have no idea how to use it. So I'm still trying to figure out how to get that done. This is when I feel all 47 of my years, right, is when technology's involved. Because,
hey, I'm young, and I can't figure this stuff out. So it is not, you know. People always laugh at me and say I'm like a granny because I seriously cannot figure anything out ever. And me trying to create this online membership community that I've made, it was like, that was my biggest struggle with it, was all the technical side of things. How do I do this? So
having friends on Twitter helps, right? Like
exactly. Yeah. Outsourcing and Twitter friends. I'm telling you, our Twitter homies, they always know that somebody out there will know the answer to your question or will be able to assist you. So that's another cool thing about the community is we can really help one another out succeed. I'm huge, huge on community and joining together so we can all win. Like, I want to see you win. I want to see you win. I want to see you win. I want to win. I want us all to win.
Yeah. So, I'm the same way. That's why we connected, I think.
Yeah. Right?
I have to say, I feel super blessed because Twitter has some very ugly corners, like a lot of ugly corners. But I don't know how it was completely by accident. I managed to fall into this group of really genuinely amazing people, right? Like all of our peeps that we have on Twitter. People say, oh, you should just get off Twitter. It's all it's doing is sucking your brain. It's life to me sometimes, right? Like,
yeah,
our peeps are so good. They're all so supportive, right? Like if I have a bad day and say anything about it, the amount of messages I get trying to encourage me, people saying, is there anything I can do to help?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. And it's so uplifting. And then any question, right? Like if I have a question about something, here's a perfect example. My son's girlfriend has Crohn's disease. She just came out of the hospital last week because she had a terrible blockage. Her doctors are, sorry, but doctors don't get Crohn's disease, I don't think. The things they're recommending to her, I have every confidence, are not going to help her, right? Like they're all drug-centric and whatnot.
Yeah.
So I just put the question out there. I said, because I know we have a bunch of friends who are diet and fitness related, right?
Right.
And they're all really super smart. So I put the question out there, what can I tell her about her diet? Like, what can I get her to do that's going to help her? Because I know there's people in my circle that have had this problem and they've cured or at least gone into remission where they're not spending every other month in the hospital. And that post must have got a couple hundred comments at least, right? It got retweeted dozens of times, right? I got so many good answers and links to resources and people that DM'd me to say, you know, if you have any specific question, just send me a note and we'll work it out. It was amazing, right? And it's just for a random stranger who's asking for a random stranger, right? Like
Twitter, my family, man. Right? My family. I know. I love it. Everybody there. I mean, I always say Twitter really changed my life. Mm-hmm. It really did. One, I connected with some people who were therapists or marriage counselor. Actually, I connected with a lot of marriage counselors. And at the time I was single and I was just trying to heal and come into my own journey of blossoming, and connecting with them really gave me wisdom and insight. And I started applying things to my life. And then I started growing in a positive way. And my life was getting better. And then everybody was like always encouraging me. And I actually had everybody believed in me a million times more than I believed in myself. I really suffered from limiting beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt everyone would offer me suggestions like, you can do this, you could do this. And I just deep down didn't feel like I was capable of anything. And mm-hmm. I was like, man, all these people are inspiring and I love that, but I don't really feel like I can add any value. So finally, when I started feeling like, okay, no, like I do have value, like I have applied this wisdom to my life and I've grown and changed, and now I can share that too. And it's just been awesome. I mean, Twitter, seriously, I feel like is my family. I love it. It's such a wonderful space. All the people. And like you said, there are some dark corners of Twitter.
Yeah.
Dark. When I first, before I connected with all the marriage counselors, I actually was a part of art Twitter, and I had my own little art business. I was living by myself at the time, and I was doing that. I would go to work and then I would come home and I would be by myself and I would make art and try to sell it. And I was trying to build a platform to do that. And if you have a difference in opinion, man, they'll
come
out, you know, like the whole cancel culture is just terrible. Like, you better not have an opinion. You better be a robot. You better fall in line or we're going to come after you. And so I was just attacked and I had never really experienced that before. And it made me physically sick at the time. That was a point in my life where I remember being so frustrated by it that I threw up. And now I'm going to share whatever I'm going to share. And if you don't like it, bye, hit the curb. And so doing that, I ended up connecting and sharing more of my genuine thoughts and not being afraid of what people thought. It drew everybody to me that are amazing. And you are one of them. So it's just been awesome.
It draws to you the people that appreciate that and are like that, right? Like, you know, who's the perfect example of that, that I'm going to be me and I don't give a shit what you think is Zuby. I know your friend. I freaking love that guy.
I know. Right?
Like, he is. And the thing is, he has such a large presence, right? And he's definitely one of those people that you feel like falls into the category of people that would care enough about that presence that they would step lightly, right? Like the ones that are overly fragile and they're always issuing the apologies and they're following the line. And he's like, nope, I'm not doing that. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things I love. And anybody who's like that is definitely somebody that I would trust to keep in my circle, because that's the way that I am mostly too. Sometimes I go off and I'll say something that I shouldn't, and I'll always apologize, but I don't apologize for being me ever.
Yeah, right? Like, as you shouldn't.
No.
You live in a culture where you're not, it's just groupthink, and you're not allowed to have your own opinion. And so I highly value people who have their own opinions and have their own perspectives, because we all have a unique perspective dependent upon the way that we were raised and the experiences that we've had. Mm-hmm. So none of us are going to think the same. It's impossible and ridiculous to even believe everybody should. So
yeah. I don't want cookie cutters, right? No. Like, I don't want a pile of gingerbread cookies as my friends.
No,
it's okay to disagree with me. It's about how you disagree.
Exactly.
Like, because we can all think different things, but if I have respect for you and I treat you with respect, then you respect me back too, right? Like, if you're coming from a place of good faith, then I'm willing to give you the benefit of the doubt. Sometimes you're wrong, sometimes I'm wrong, right? But it's about
okay.
You disagree. Yeah. So, I mean, we're a good example. You're very religious, right? I have a lot of respect for that. I'm an atheist, right? But
right.
We can still have conversations and we don't get our backs up about it, because I respect your beliefs. I respect how you feel about them. Right. And so far you've treated me with respect about mine. I mean, I can even have a conversation about it with, like, I have lots of really religious friends. Right. And sometimes we actually talk about religion. I don't think I've ever fought with any of them about it, because we can have those conversations with the understanding that we're both good people that simply disagree on the theology of it, but we're both coming from the same place, right? And that's the kind of thing that I'd been looking for. And the truth is, I spent a lot of years, my younger years, all the mistakes that I made were because almost exclusively because I cared more about what other people thought than I cared about whether or not I was being true to myself. And as soon as I finally made the decision I was going to stop doing that, things started changing for me in a very good way, right? Like, things aren't perfect. Believe me, my life is a shit show, right? Especially right now, because I have nightmares some days. It's a hard life, but the really big important things, a lot of them are in line now to the point where I'm able to deal with the shit that I have to deal with because I made the decision to just be unapologetically me, and whoever sticks around, is they're worth the time, and the ones that leave because they can't take it are, I'm better off without them in my life anyway. Mm-hmm. So far that's been working out pretty good for the most part.
Amen, girl. Amen.
Mm-hmm. And I found a ton of great friends. Like, I have way better friends now than I ever had before.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I, in the same exact way. And you really have to be true to yourself. And like you said, I love that you and I, we might not have the same religious beliefs. You know, we don't share that faith, but that's okay. We don't have to have everything in common in order to love one another. Mm-hmm. And it's a concept that a lot of people struggle with. You don't have, you're allowed to love someone. To me, that's what love is.
Yeah.
I love you despite our differences. I love you actually because of our differences. Like, I love you for being different than me. And I value you for being your own person and yourself and having those differences. And quite frankly, those who disagree with you and can't handle that disagreement and they want to cut you down for whatever perspective you have. Yeah. Those are the people you don't want in your life.
No, and you really don't.
You don't. And you know, this year, for example, I had someone who was very close to me. I thought was a best friend that would be in my life forever. I had a difference in opinion that I voiced, which typically I don't do. I do on Twitter. Everybody on Twitter knows my opinions, but outside of that, I don't always voice them.
Yeah.
And I finally decided to, and it caused a rift, and I lost what I thought was a friendship. And that's, I'm at a point in my life where it doesn't, I want you to walk away. If you don't want to be here, I want you to walk away, because that makes space and room for those who do want to be here and that do love me despite my beliefs to be here and show up, because I want people in my life that feel that way about me, and I want to be that person for them as well, because I'm going to love you despite the decisions that you might make, the beliefs that you might have. And granted, there's people who, it's on the other side of the spectrum where I feel like they're just energy vampires. And that's a whole new can of worms. You know, that's different. There's a difference between having differences and then just living a totally different lifestyle that you want no part of because it drags you down. But
Well, and that's the thing. It's not about whether or not we agree or whether or not we're the same, right? It's about whether or not you are honest with me and honest about who you are.
Yeah.
And part of being honest about who you are is being honest about what you want from the relationship too, right? And if what you want from the relationship is validation for choices that I don't agree with, or to drag me down with you, or even worse, and I've had plenty of friends like this, to use me so that you can climb over me on your way up to the top, those, if you're honest about that in our relationship, I'm going to take a pass. Because I don't want any of that, right? I don't do that to people. I don't accept it, right? I'm firmly of the belief of the golden rule, right? Like, I will never treat anybody like I wouldn't expect to treat them myself, right? And I always will be honest. I'm not always going to be nice, right? Sometimes I say things that can be a little harsh, right? Sometimes I might actually tell you off if I think you're being a jerk. Mm-hmm. I'll try to couch it. If we're good friends, I don't want to be a jerk back, but right? Like, I'm always going to be honest with you. If you can't accept that honesty, then it's probably best for all of us if you just go be friends with someone else. Because yep. I don't have another way to be. This is how I am, right?
Yep. And
I'll always be nice, but sometimes the truth hurts. And some people
truth
don't want to hear it.
Lost, a lot of the time.
I've lost a lot of really close people because of it, because, you know, your behavior is bad. And if I say so, it's not because I'm trying to beat you down. It's because I'm trying to pick you up.
I love you enough to challenge you to do better because you can, you're capable of doing so.
Yeah. I want you to have productive relationships with other people. We've had this struggle. I'm saying this more abstractly than I should, but we've had the struggle with a couple of our kids, right? It's, I'm not saying these things to you because I'm trying to make you feel bad about who you are. I'm saying these things to you because I want you to understand that most people you meet in your life are not going to be as forgiving as me, right? Yeah. If you treat other people, the way you're treating me right now, it's not going to work out for you. Your life is going to turn into a terrible mess. So yeah. Learn it now while you're with someone who loves you and who is forgiving before you have to go out there and you do it to someone who's not going to love you enough to forgive you for it. Right.
Yeah.
Sometimes they don't take that message. We still struggle. There's some that still just think I'm too much of a hard ass, right? But the fact of the matter is, like, the fact of the matter is, if you keep having these problems with everybody you meet, the problem is not them.
It is you. Yeah. You got to pay attention to the reoccurring theme in your life.
Yeah.
And if you don't have that awareness, it's on you, buddy.
Oh, for sure.
Definitely. I didn't even necessarily intend for it, but I think two of the biggest pieces that we've given to anyone who's listening is that there's redemption for your story, you know, and I know that you're big on that. I know that you shared with me that a message you want to kind of share with the world is that it's never too late to make your life better. It's never as bad as you think, and you can't ever give up. Never. So I think that is beautiful in itself, that story of redemption and hope, because there's always redemption and hope. And then,
sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but I'll say we're struggling right now because we're making retirement plans and I'm trying to accelerate them because I'm eager to just get out of where we are right now. I feel a little trapped. My husband's way more conservative than me. He likes to have a nice, secure little nest and he doesn't like things to be too chaotic. And we're struggling because he wants to put it off for longer so he has a safer little cushion. But I keep telling him the number of times that I've gone from here down to here, I've dropped down, like I've been homeless more than once, penniless many times, right? Not that I want to keep repeating that pattern, let's be fair, right?
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is the one thing I always learned from those experiences was you can always get back up again.
Yeah.
I got there sleeping in a friend's car in the middle of winter, right? And going 3-4 days without eating because I had no money, right? Like that's where I've been. And then I managed to climb out of that terrible hole and make life better. And then I got back into a hole. It was a different hole, but, and then I still climbed out of it. So now the truth is, I keep saying to him, no matter how bad it gets, it's probably never going to get that bad again. So,
yeah.
And I know I can survive it.
I bring myself back to that too. That's one thing that I speak to myself is, what's the worst that's going to happen? I'm going to live in my car. I've said that to myself. And
been there, done that.
Yeah. It's almost kind of empowering once you have suffered, because you know that even in your suffering, it's not forever.
Yeah.
It's temporary. It always is a season that passes. And the more that you can learn and grow, the less that you'll suffer. Mm-hmm. Like, suffering is inevitable, but you can certainly reduce that suffering. So yeah, I think that that's a great, I'm totally with you on that.
Yeah. That's the lesson I've ever always tried to teach all of our kids, is however bad you think it's going to be, it may actually get that bad, but you can survive it, right?
You will get
sometimes
through.
Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it'll take a long time. But one day you're going to look back and go, I can't believe I felt like that was the end. Right? Like, right? I look back now and I go, there were days when if you told me I was going to be where I am now, I would have laughed. There's no way. But here I am. I feel
the same way. The same way. I, like you mentioned earlier, I also in middle school and high school was extremely suicidal. Mm-hmm. And I never thought that I would make it to my early 20s, let alone where I am now. I always tell people that it's the promised land. That's where I am at now. And my childhood was kind of, I pretty much make everything somehow align with scripture because that's what helps me. But in scripture, the Israelites were taken out of Egypt and they had this long journey and it was miserable and they were just felt defeated and they didn't see the outcome. And then they ended up going to the promised land. And so I always say that in my own life, that that's where I'm at now. I feel like I'm in the promised land and I'm just overflowing with milk and honey. And I can't believe that this is where I'm at, because in that season, in that moment, I never thought that this was even possible, mm-hmm. that I could be a reality. So it's definitely encouraging to see other people have that same type of story and that same experience, because I want people to know that there is more to life, that life can be better and different. It's mm-hmm. not always going to look the way that it is, even in your darkest moments, unless you choose for it to be.
Exactly. Exactly. It is a choice to stay there. Mm-hmm. It really is.
Definitely.
It's never a choice that I ever made. I'm just too stubborn.
I love that about you. I love your stuff. Fantastic. No, I've loved this conversation. I think it's awesome. I'm glad that I got to connect with you personally. I want to give you this time now to let people know where they can find you and your guys' show and on social media.
Oh, okay. So IG is Play It Again MG. So is the Twitter, Play It Again MG. Our YouTube is Play It Again with Mike and Ginger.
I'm going to put the links all under the description so that they can click mm-hmm. on it, make it easy. So
we try to be super attentive to all of that, right? Like, we read all the comments. I will often reply to the comments, right? We're big on replying to emails and whatnot. We love being in contact. It's starting to get really hard because we have so many subscribers and very, very active subscribers. So it's starting to take a lot of time, but it's really important to both of us that we stay connected with our viewers, because that's where we get all our really good ideas, and because the feedback is amazing, right? Like, they're important to us. They're our extended family. We have a community now, right?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Music lovers.
You are probably going to get overwhelmed, because I noticed today that you guys had posted that video and y'all already have a ton of comments and likes and shares and views. It was like, that's earlier nothing. Today I posted, it was like 600 something plus views, and you just posted it. So
yeah, I gotta tell you, there's one guy we found completely by accident. This gent named Alip Bata, he's from the Philippines, and he does fingerstyle guitar. And he's just sitting on the floor of his garage, right, in his shorts, playing guitar. This guy is amazing talent. But the most astonishing thing is, one of his videos goes up, like, we do a reaction to one of his things, and it'll have 70,000 views in a day or two, right? Like, right now, I think Mike checked yesterday, and one that we posted, I think 2 weeks ago, is at 170,000 views already.
Wow.
It's ridiculous.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's gigantic. And this is stuff I would have never expected, right? Like, it's good, right? But it's totally not scripted, it's not polished or anything. You think of all those big bands that spend so much money on marketing and polishing up their videos, and this guy is killing it from the floor of his garage.
That's
awesome. Amazing to see. Yeah, so stuff like that. I like that one. I can barely keep up with the comments on it. It's crazy.
Yay.
It's good though. We love the feedback.
All right. Well, until next time, thank you for joining. I'm glad that you were able to take the time out of your day to kind of meet with me.
So. Thanks for inviting me. I love talking to you. You're so adorable.
Thank you. Thanks for taking the time to listen. I hope that you found value out of what was shared today. You can join our online membership community for women at circleofgrace.us, and you can connect with me personally by finding and following me on Twitter and Instagram at itsmedevclev. Until next time, may God cover you in his love and envelop you in his supernatural peace.